Hello, everyone. Happy Friday. This is Steph Lee, founder of Host Agency Reviews, and you have found yourself at the Friday 15. So welcome. This is where every Friday at 12 p.m. Central Time, we answer the industry questions that you have submitted. If you have a question for us, and I hope you do, because we love to answer them, you can go to hostagencyreviews.com/Friday15, or you can check in the description and find the link to that there. So before we get started today, I wanted to go ahead and give a thanks to our sponsor, Uniglobe Travel Center, and we'll just hear a quick ad from them, and then we'll get into the questions.
Who says you have to go it alone while building or expanding your travel business? Partnership, networking, community, and support are essential elements to your success. At Uniglobe Travel Center, we've made it our mission to deliver the tools and resources you need while providing the freedom and respect you deserve. For over 26 years, we've hosted the most productive travel professionals in the business, and we're just getting started. Come see what we're all about at Uniglobe Travel Center.
Well, a big thank you again to Uniglobe, and I think that's actually April from their team doing the voiceover, and fabulous job there, April, if that was you. So we will put a link to Uniglobe Travel Center's profile if you're interested in taking a look at anything about their program. So let's see. So before we get into questions, a few things I wanted to go over. So one, if you subscribe to our podcast feed, you probably saw this drop, I think like a week or two ago, but we just had a new Travel Agent Chatter podcast episode drop. And the Travel Agent Chatter podcast, just so you know, is a little bit different from our Friday 15, where we do 15 minutes, where we answer questions. The Travel Agent Chatter one are in-depth interviews. They're usually about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes, where we interview successful agencies and pick out the ideas that have really made their agency successful and share them with you. And this last one we did was really fun. It's with Ashley Morris from Alpaca Your Bags Travel. Cutest name ever. And so she specializes in destination weddings and honeymoons. Her average size for her destination weddings and honeymoons is 80 to 90 guests. And she has a really impressive close ratio of 75% after she can get them on the free consultation calls. So there is a lot that any advisor, whether you're in the destination wedding space, the group space, and even if you're not doing groups, she is a brilliant marketer. She used to work at an ad agency. Her website is delicious, like to look at, and the content on it is so attractive. I can say personally that when I was doing some research before our call and reading through her website, I was totally sold on Ashley before we ever even got on a call to record, because she does such a great job with content. So there's a lot of inspiration for any advisor in there, and I would highly recommend it. It is well worth the 60 minutes or 75 minutes of your time to learn from this almost 10-year veteran that is currently on track for $4 million in sales in 2023. Let's see, other things. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but tax season is coming up. So I also want to put a link in our show notes to our travel expenses article. And the reason I want to is because as a travel advisor, whether you're new or experienced, we all know that with owning a business comes write-offs. But with travel, it can be a little bit tricky when you're in the travel business, because can you write off any trip? We go really in depth on that. If you go to our site and go to hostagencyreviews.com, and up in the search bar, you can type in travel expenses, or you could just click on the link in the description, and it'll pull up a very in-depth article on what you can and can't write off. And here's some bad news for those of you that do a lot of cruising. Cruising actually isn't as easy to write off as you would think. A seminar at sea you think would be 100% tax deductible. It is not, and most likely it may not be deductible. We talk about it more in the article, but the IRS is very specific. It has a lot of, what would I say? There's a lot of strings attached to if you want to write something off. And even if you write off a cruise seminar at sea and you meet the 15 requirements, and the requirements are things like all the ports of call need to be in the US. And so that's not most cruise lines. But even if you meet all of that, it caps out at, I think, like it's either $2,000 or $2,500 for the expenses. So it's well worth taking a read. Even if you're using an accountant, they the tax code is huge, and they are not familiar with the travel industry things and most likely do not know anything about this cruise line thing. So make sure to check that out. Again, we'll put the link in the comments. And then lastly, before we get into our questions, we are going to be at the Travel Agent Forum March 31st in Vegas, so in a few weeks. And we'll be there. We'll have a booth. We'll also be moderating a panel on host agencies. So if you're planning on going there, please email us at hello@hostagencyreviews.com. We'd love to meet up, or you can stop by our booth and say hello. We love to meet our listeners. And we'll put a link to it in the comments if you're not familiar with it, so you can check it out. So let's get into our first question. This one is from Gary. And Gary, thanks for being patient since I couldn't get this to this last week. So how do you go from not charging a research or consultation fee to charging a fee? What would be a good fee range for new travel advisors? Oh, such a good question, Gary. And I have such a great answer for you. So let me first of all start by, I'm going to share the screen because we issue out, so actually in about a month, our annual survey is going to start. So you'll hear us talking about that an awful lot. And the way we the data that we get from the survey is what we use to create these reports, which are helpful, so helpful to everyone in the industry, whether you're an advisor, a supplier, an association. It gives a lot of great data about the industry and we publish it out for free. So let me, I'm just going to pull up our, let's see, our hosted advisor report. So this is specific to the host agency segment. We also have reports on the independent travel advisor if you're independently accredited, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes. But let me see. So I'm going to scroll down here. Mary has created this nice table of contents that allows me to just click on consultation free trends. So Gary, a couple things for you that should give you a little bit more confidence about charging fees. So one is that when people are charging consultation fees, 87% of them charge a flat fee. So that's by far the most common kind of way of delivering the fee or the structure of it. And then if we're looking at that, you're asking what kind of is a good range for those fees. So $200 was the median flat fee that people charge. But one thing to keep in mind with this, Gary, is that that is really going to depend on your niche. So typically, if you're specializing in cruises, that rate, the flat fee has been lower than the 200. If you're in something like luxury or like Ashley with her Alpaca Your Bags travel, she charges, upwards of thousands of dollars for her consultation fee. And people that are doing destination weddings or something where you're doing a big group, you know, I think it usually will start out around $500 for that and go up, but it definitely can go into the thousands of dollars. Depending on what your niche is and how big the groups are, et cetera. And as you're thinking of this, if you're like, well, that doesn't really help me because I don't want to go and charge $200 going from zero to $200 when I'm brand new, there's an answer for that too, Gary. We always have answers. So let me take you to the one spot here. There's something called plan to go fees, and there's a complete section on this in our report. And plan to go fees are essentially, as a travel advisor, it can be really hard because you can give all this research and time and information and energy to a potential client, and they can take that information and go and book online. So the plan to go fees are a great way to kind of protect yourself and the investment you're putting into people. So essentially what it is a deposit. You can say, yeah, I'll work with you. I'll give you quotes, et cetera. You pay me the $200, whatever the median fee is. And if you end up booking with me, I'll apply blank amount to your future booking. So it's, if they're going to work with you, it's not a risk to them at all. And it's, and for you, it's kind of a fail safe that if they end up walking away, you at least came out with $200. So here's some stats on that for you. So 75% of people that did this plan to go fee, and by the way, 25% of advisors that charged a fee did this plan to go structure. So of that 25%, most of them, the vast majority, applied the full fee to the booking. So again, it doesn't actually end up for those people, doesn't end up costing the clients anything else because it's going towards the booking. But there are people, there's 25% that just do a certain dollar amount. And if they were choosing that route, $50 was the most common amount that they applied to the booking. And then a smaller percentage, about 10%, applied a percentage of the plan to go fee, which means, and then the most common percentage that you're charged was 50%. So if they paid the $200, $100 would go towards the booking, and then the $100 would essentially be a consultation fee for you. So that's a great way to do it, because I know for new advisors, it can be really hard to have the confidence to charge someone a fee when you're brand new and don't know what you're doing. And this is supposed to be like an expertise, like an expert fee. So that's something that can help you out there. And there's more, Gary, because let me go to the site. We'll put this link in the comments, but if you're on the site, you can just go into, oh no, not travel expenses. Charging, if you type into the search box up on the top, charging the fees or charging, the first thing that pops up is our article on Taking the Plunge, A Travel Agent's Guide to Charging Fees. And this is going to be a goldmine of information for you, Gary, or for anyone else interested in charging fees. So a lot of information in here, but I think what's going to be most helpful for you is, let me scroll down here. We did a survey and embedded the answers into it. We partnered with a couple host agencies to do this. So I think there's 60 advisors that shared this information. So we asked them, what verbiage do you use to communicate your fees to your clients? So that gives you a ton, again, like 50 or 60 different ways of communicating to your client about this fee in a way that feels comfortable for you and confident. And then we asked them about advice for any people that are hesitant about charging a fee. Again, 50 or 60 there. And then if they did not charging a fee, if they did not start charging a fee right away, how did they transition to charging fees? So that column right there, Gary, is going to be your best friend. But one thing to mention there, an idea for you as well, is going to be that if you're feeling uncomfortable about transitioning clients you already have to fees, you can always grandfather them in. It's not, you know, this is your business, and this is what's great about it, is you can make up your own rules. And so you can write them and say, I value you being with me from the beginning. You're going to see me start promoting or seeing on the site that there is a consultation fee that I charge or a plan to go fee. Please know that as a loyal client, you are grandfathered in from this. I really appreciate your business. So hopefully that gives you a lot of things to look into, Gary, that will give you the confidence to charging fees. I think it's a fantastic idea, especially in light of what happened with COVID, where when you rely 100% on commissions, that's very, very challenging. So let's see. Next question. Dun, 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 dun. Let's see. Oh, you know what else? I'm going to link to, I'll link to both of our surveys in the comments as well as the description. All right. Next question comes from Sheila. So Sheila says, for us newbies, how should we be marketing for wave season now? I don't want to not book now while waiting for wave season. I also don't want my clients to get mad if a better deal comes up in 2 months that they can't get because they're already booked. Help. Great questions, Sheila. So first of all, we're kind of in the midst of wave season. So typically wave season is kind of the beginning of the year, like after January 1st through spring break, when people are making tons and tons of bookings for spring break and beyond. Now, I reached out to my friend Anthony Maloro over at Royal Caribbean Cruise Line, who works with hosted advisors there, him and his team, specifically focused on host agencies and their members. So he says, since wave season is in full swing and we have been having record-breaking booking weeks, you should never wait to book your clients now more than ever. As space fills, it gets harder and harder to lock in what your clients want. Promotions are always available. However, pricing generally increases. So even if you see a quote unquote better promotion, there's a good chance that the price was lower if you had booked earlier. And rates increase with demand. So even if there is a deal, it is usually on a higher price point to begin with. So never wait to book your clients. And if a lower rate does become available before that final payment comes in, you can always adjust to that lower rate. So that's something to keep in mind. And the last thing on that, Sheila, is tune in 2 weeks from now. We're going to be chatting. Our co-host is going to be Geraldine Ree, who worked in the cruise lines, first of all, for a really long time. But now she's out on her own and she helps agencies with marketing and different things like that. And she's got a lot of great ideas on marketing. So make sure to tune in for that one. And last question for the day. This one comes from Josh. So, hello, I am currently evaluating which host agency would be best for me to join. And I'm going back and forth on whether or not I should join a host agency that is luxury focused slash a virtuoso member. If I were to join a more luxury focused host agency, will I still be able to support clients who are not luxury travelers too? I feel like joining a luxury focused host agency will be better for supporting those clients, but I want to make sure I'm able to support others as well. Thoughts? Thanks for all the support and information you provide. It's invaluable. Josh. Well, thank you for the kind words, Josh, and thank you for submitting your question. It's always very appreciated. So I'm going to start with luxury is such a broad term, and that's really the definition of it is really going to be your definition of it is really going to be whether or not how you define it is going to be the answer to whether a virtuoso host is best for you or not. Let me see. So let me share the site, and I'm going to show for people that aren't aware. So if you're not sure how to find who the virtuoso host agencies are, if you go to our host agency list under the more filters section and you click on under consortia, go to virtuoso. That's the first way, and that'll pull up all of our virtuoso agencies. And there's Uniglobe Travel Center, our sponsor. The other way you can do it is if you go to the list and go to consortia and pull up virtuoso, or you can click on the virtuoso link on a host agency's profile. That'll take you to the virtuoso profile. And then underneath there, you'll see a list of all the virtuoso host agencies that are out there. So when we're talking about what luxury is, so because for someone like me, luxury is essentially a premium market would seem somewhat luxurious to me. I'm just a pretty low-key person and feel more uncomfortable in higher-end things. And so it depends what your clients. So say, for instance, if we're talking the cruises, because that's a lot easier way to kind of show the difference. So if you're talking about something that's more of a premium cruise line, like let's say Princess Cruises or Celebrity Cruises, those are considered premium market, which means they're not like the mainstream market. They're a little bit higher priced. That would still be considered, that wouldn't necessarily be considered luxury. But if you're talking about, if you're booking really high-end cruise lines, like say Silver Seas, that's another level above and would be considered more on the luxury line. You know, if you're booking Four Seasons, if you're booking the Ritz-Carlton for your clients, those are definitely considered luxury products and virtuoso, especially for the hotel programs that are out there and the amenities that can get your clients. Virtuoso is going to be a no-brainer if you're dealing with those more ultra high net worth individuals or people that are booking that type of travel. However, virtuoso is typically more expensive to join, especially if you're joining a virtuoso host agency. And so that's something to keep in mind. If you only have a few clients that are booking those, it may be better to go with one of the other consortium host agencies that belong to one of the other consortiums, because all of the consortia have luxury programs and select programs that are very similar to what Virtuoso offers, but maybe to a little bit of a lesser degree, and they're going to be more affordable for you. So Josh, it really comes down to your definition of what luxury is. Like I said, if you're booking those very high-end properties or tour operators or cruise lines, then a Virtuoso host agency is going to be great for you. If you're more at the premium level, you are going to be fine with a non-luxury consortium. So that is, let's see, our last question today. I want to say thank you again to our sponsor, Uniglobe Travel Center, who, by the way, is a virtuoso agency. And then for coming up next week, I said I was going to be taking off last week, and then poor April had to tell me that actually, no, we actually have a Friday 15 sponsor, so won't be taking next week off. I will definitely see you then. But the following week, we also have on, as I mentioned earlier, Geraldine Ree. So ask any questions about marketing, submit those to us, and we'll make sure that she gets those answered. And then lastly, before we sign off, for those of you that love the Friday 15 or want to make sure you know what the questions are ahead of time, go ahead and go to hostagencyreviews.com/Friday15 and sign up for e-reminders or text reminders. So thank you so much for joining me. Happy weekend, everyone, and we will see you next week.